This message is from Rackabages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Ancient Faith for Today's World. August 6, 1 Kings 17, 1-6.
Just earlier we heard what is probably one of the most familiar stories in the New Testament. It's there on all the old flannel boards of every Sunday school classroom, and probably what a lot of people think about when they hear about Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus did what we know and we understand in Scripture clearly is a miracle, providing for that crowd with a mere 5 loaves and 2 fish, and also later on the feeding of the 4,000. And yet, isn't it striking that there are some who try to follow the Christian faith and yet try to push aside this event and say it's just a mere hyped up tradition to make Jesus appear like a great person who can provide for us. You have to wonder, how can they think that? When we know what we know about the Son of God, we know about the Word of God, how can they take that event of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and deny it? Of course, that shouldn't surprise us when we look at what Jesus had to say. When he went to the towns of Bethsaida and Chorazin, and he had to decry them for not believing the miracles he performed in their area, including that great miracle of the feeding of the 5 and 4,000, they didn't believe, even though God mercifully provided. Today we're going to look at that God provides. And that alone is cause for us to look to him and trust in him to provide and mercifully meet all of our needs. But today we're actually going to take a look at a time when God didn't provide to prove who he was and his merciful goodness, but rather a time when God withheld from tens, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people, his hand of mercy, that they might know who he was. We see that as we look in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're introduced to the start of the ministry of the prophet Elijah. And there we see, as God provides and as God withholds, God is the one who only in mercy provides, so we can trust him to meet all of our needs. It starts out here with just introducing Elijah, who seemingly comes out of nowhere. He's just Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe and Gilead. There's no background story. Just as Elisha is taken up into heaven and doesn't really have an ending, there seems to be no beginning. And mysteriously, we don't need to know anything more than that, because this is what he's identified as. He says to the king Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve." And isn't that all we need to know? In a time when Israel had very few prophets left, in a time when many people were turning aside from the Word of God, God mercifully provided for their needs by sending a messenger, one who served the Lord and who spoke in his name. And Elijah's name means, "My God is the Lord." Why would that name be so crucial at this time? Well, it's at this time that it says Ahab is king. You see, Ahab was the king who, it says and describes in Scripture, did more evil than all the kings who came before him. And this king who served in the northern kingdom of Israel had took a wife from the daughter of the king of Sidon, Jezebel. And see, Ahab wasn't content merely to mix false belief with belief of the Lord and try to pull the people away to the gods of the Canaanites and Baal and Asherah. No. Ahab outright rejected the Lord. His name wasn't "The Lord is my God." No, it was "Any God but the Lord." As he promoted the worship of Baal, the god of the rains, the god of fertility, Ahab put his trust in everything but God. And the people of Israel followed him to such an extent that God would later speak to Elijah and say, "There's about 7,000 believers left." A small percentage of people in the land of Israel had not yet bowed down their knee to Baal. You picture that. We live in a nation where many people are turning away from the Lord, and some outright rejecting the Lord. Some, as I mentioned earlier, even rejecting the miracles in the New Testament. But picture only a handful of 1,000 people left in the whole nation. Maybe it's headed that way. It doesn't take much. Someone like Ahab had led the people so far away that God was about to intervene as he sent the prophet Elijah to prove to them that the Lord is God, and so that the people would not despair and lose heart. and he's a God who mercifully provides. Elijah came to Ahab and said, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Right now, we're facing a shortage of moisture and rain. It's only been many weeks, months, I guess you might argue. By this time, they already, it seems, had 6 months without rain. And now Elijah is telling the king, there won't be for years unless I say so, because I serve the Lord. And did you note what he calls the Lord? The living God. The Lord, the God of Israel, as surely as he lives. It's kind of a jab at Ahab's God. Your God, Ahab, this Baal, who you serve, he does not live. And I'm going to prove it to you by, you'll see how powerless, impotent he is when I tell you that the rain will not come. You remember, Baal is the god of the rains. Baal would be powerless, dead, to help his people. That's the way it is when people turn to trust in things apart from the Lord. And we see it in many ways, don't we? They'll turn to trust in not just wealth, but the strength of their own hands. Or they'll turn to things that they love to and their source of goodness away from the Lord, and maybe even reject the Lord. We see, in general, society is turning to, much like Ahab's time, sexuality as the course, the power for the course to find pleasure in this world, to pervert what God has given in the blessing of marriage, to be something else, and then you'll find blessing. But that type of a God, the God of worshiping human sexuality apart from the Lord, that God is dead, and it cannot satisfy, and it cannot provide for our needs. And they'll turn to many other things. You only have to look, and you'll see how people are staring at their phone. And whether they're checking their stocks, they're checking their sports teams, or they're checking their favorite entertainment, or they're checking in with their social groups, it becomes an idolatry that replaces truth in the Lord. As their hearts are set on what they find there, whether it's pornography or whether it's some other addiction, they can't put it down because it has their hearts. But it never satisfies, and that's why they can't put their devices down. Don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to use technology. But as Ahab did in the days of Israel, the abilities and the strength of the people are poured into everything but worship of the Lord. And it can't satisfy. All the false gods of this world are dead. And the Lord alone lives and provides, as we confess in our creed. He gave us our mind, our abilities. He's the one who sends rain, as Jesus sends. He sends it to the righteous and the unrighteous. God alone lives, gives life, and sustains life. You know, when Jesus was teaching the people and showing compassion, he fed them, and he gave them food for 5,000 in order to demonstrate his compassion and the love of God for the people, and so they might know, my God, the people could confess, is the Lord. And so that we could say, my God is the Lord, the living God. And the Lord alone who lives provides for our need. But here we see in Elijah's time, a different message was needed. Sometimes human hearts need this message. Not merely God in mercy giving us day after day, but when those gifts are taken for granted. And when people turn, and when we turn and look to other sources and trust in other sources of strength or wealth, that God would withhold his blessing. And so to demonstrate who he is, God told Ahab, and through him all the people of Israel, that there would be no more blessing, no more rain for many years because of their sin. This is a strong cry of judgment. This is a call to repentance. Because they had turned aside from worshiping the true God, the only God, to the sources of strength and the sources of power that they thought would provide for their needs, to the worship of Baal, sexual immorality, self-indulgence, and dishonor, disgrace, and rejection, denial of the Lord. Maybe we don't directly bow down to Baal, but ought God not to look on us, our families, our community, and say, where is your heart? And no, we're not maybe running after these false gods like they did and worshiping gods like Baal by name. But do we sometimes find our hearts trusting in this world? We might think that we're better off if we have a storage room that's filled with months of supply of food, and that will get us through. Or we'll be better off if we just store for ourselves treasures on earth until, as Jesus says, moth and vermin come and destroy. I arrived back from vacation to find that a vehicle in our driveway was covered with pack rats who had chewed through part of the wires. Just another reminder, this world will not last. Things in this world cannot provide lasting enjoyment. And if you put your trust in it, eventually it will fail you. Maybe you experience something similar with a loss of health, a loss of enjoyment of the use of some part of your healthy body, or maybe a loss of investments or a loss of something, a family member. If we put our trust in this world, in the things of this world, or the things that we design and devise in our own hearts, instead of our Lord, it's dead and it can't provide. And maybe at times that lack of enjoyment comes as a reminder, as it did not just for Ahab and the many people bowing down to Baal, but even for the 7,000 who hadn't bowed down. They, through their poverty, through the lack of rain, remembered the Lord is God. And yet God had not abandoned them. God does not abandon us. We see, he says to Elijah, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You know, that's actually outside of the land of Israel. Kind of striking, isn't it, that God would provide for Elijah, but not in the land of Israel. Just as the people waited outside of the land of Canaan, east of the Jordan, before they entered, Elijah now would stand outside of the land of Israel, looking in, as he sees the godlessness that fills the land, much like the people before they entered the promised land. But God had not abandoned them and had not abandoned his promise. Elijah did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him meat and bread in the morning and bread in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Notice God doesn't provide Elijah months supplies of food in his storeroom. He doesn't give him treasures of investments and all that he could ever wish for. No, he gives Elijah bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. You might say his daily bread, literally. And it doesn't even come by anything he can do. He's dependent on the ravens, which are normally only scavenging for themselves, now directed by the living God to feed his prophet. God mercifully provides. He does this for all this world. He did it for Elijah through a miracle. And can we deny that he miraculously provides for us today, though we do not deserve it? In mercy, he gives us daily bread. In mercy, he does give us days, weeks, perhaps months' supply of food. He gives us shelter. He gives us water, even though at times it seems constrained. We have all that we need, not because we've earned or deserved it. And sometimes when it's lacking or destroyed, we're reminded, this is not our home. And we can pray, Lord, feed your children, God most holy, comfort sinners poor and lowly. Because we know he will mercifully provide for our needs. We know that because of what we read earlier this morning, that verse of the day. If God gave us his own son and did not spare his own son, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Yes, God withheld rain for 3.5 years in Israel. And he had to do that so they would repent and remember that the Lord is the living God. But God would not withhold for long. He would not even withhold his greatest treasure, his one and only son. And he would give his son to this parched, thirsty world, dying as it turned to the empty sources of strength, the dried up wells. And God in mercy, instead of withholding his mercy and giving us judgment as we deserved, gave us his son. who took the judgment off of us. And for all the times that we didn't trust in him, the Son of God came to show us that he is trustworthy and he keeps his promises. And along with the 7,000 who did not bow down to Baal, we can continue to serve and trust in him and say, my God is the Lord, who gives me daily bread, who gives me clothing, food, and shelter, my mind, my abilities, all that I have in need, and who gave me his one and only Son. Jesus gave his life and willingly shed his blood and poured it out, we might never thirst or hunger. But he is the living God, right? Right now we are like Elijah standing east of the Jordan, waiting to enter the promised land. The promised land that is cleansed forever of sin. The promised land flowing forever with milk and honey and bread and wine and all that we need, and the feast of the heaven of our God. And because as surely as the Lord Jesus, our God, lives, he rose again, we know we will have our needs met. And at the word of the Lord, we will come out of our graves and we will live and serve him in his kingdom forever, with bodies made new, never to hunger, tire, never to grow weary, all because God mercifully, graciously provides for all of our needs. And so we join with all of the believers around the world today. Lord, feed your children. Comfort sinners, poor and lowly. Lift us up. Provide for our needs according to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray this, as we trust in the living God. Amen.